Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. It's good to have you tuned in with us. I'm host of the program, more importantly, a father of five. So's Dave Buhner, a couple of dads in studio talking about what's happening socially about us and trying to bring a biblical worldview to bear on these issues. Hey, folks, we live in a time where 40% of kids are born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960, and we think that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, a lot of people don't have fathers. They don't have mothers. They don't have relationships. They haven't connected with people. We live in the lost and lonely world, the loneliest time probably in the history of the world, thanks to technology and the isolation of everybody in their little jars. And we're trying to bring relationships back. One of the ways we do it is by homeschooling our children. Dave, before I get into what I really want to talk about today, which is daycare and babysitting your neighbor's kids, I want to go, first of all, to the Denver Post on Sunday. Real interesting article about the Gen Xers, the baby boomers, the Gen Ys, the Gen Zs, and the Gens everybody's, and how the generations aren't connecting with each other very well. But one of the things that stuck out to me in this article was a reference to the unemployment rate among the 16 to 24-year-olds, 22%, and among the baby boomers, it's 8%. Now, why the difference between 22%? The younger you are, the more likely you are to be unemployed. So it is with Gen Xers as well. Gen Xers, Gen Ys, Gen Zs, more likely to be unemployed than the baby boomers. And why is this, folks? I think it's because the character of the nation is in free fall right now. With each successive generation, you have a much lower standard of education, a much lower standard of character for each successive generation. And here's the deal, folks. If you want to fix an economy, you're not going to do it by the Cash for Clunkers program. You're not going to get a stupid Federal Reserve manipulation to salvage an economy. Economies are built on character. Strong character builds strong economies. If you've got the character of a nation in free fall, if you've got greed, selfishness, slothfulness, consumption with entertainment that seems to consume the younger people, which it does, they're much more slothful. They're much more consumed with entertainment. They're much more consumed with video games. I think there's more greed today than there was in the 1940s, 1950s. We got all these problems. We don't have biblical character. Of course, we're going to see the unraveling of a nation. The book of Proverbs establishes a biblical standard of character. And so, therefore, I believe we got to use God's categories for character, for defining character. And if we take the book of Proverbs, all right, and we use this as core curriculum for our children, and we inculcate these things, these ideas into their lives, but not just into their minds, but into the way that they live, into the way they act, and the way they function day by day, because we're focused on character and education of the children, then I think we're going to wind up with a much, much, much stronger economy. Imagine what happens when you get, let's say 2 million parents in America that decide to, homeschool, home disciple their children, focused on character. Because relationships are important and character is preeminent in education. If that happens, my friends, I think you're going to see some microeconomies develop that will be established on strong, strong, strong character. Well, this, my friends, is part of the goal of the homeschooling movement. And I'm excited about what's happening. Dave, one of the things I'm doing is putting together a Proverbs study guide. I've done two or three others of them, Genesis, Psalms. But I'm going to focus on Proverbs here for the next 2 years. I'll have the first one out here in about a month or two. And Proverbs, I believe, is core curriculum for children. God's book on the paideia of a young man. I mean, there it is, 31 chapters of God's wisdom. So I'm put together about 400 or 500 pages of curriculum on the book of Proverbs, and that should be out here within a couple of months.
Yeah, Kevin, I think the character is important, but let me take a little bit of a different tack here. One of the reasons the baby boomers are not as unemployed as everyone else is because of their own behavior. In other words, they in their own selfishness, did not open up the opportunities for their children. They didn't have as much children. They farmed their children off into these daycares and the public schools where these kids were given a slave mentality. And they out looking how to serve the corporate entry jobs, the place where those young people would be plugging in. There's far fewer of them. The size of the marketplace is smaller because we're having fewer children. Those who are making the decisions, generally the baby boomers, are making decisions for their own benefit, and they're pretty much hosing the next generation, which is at 22% unemployed. Now, you know, ironically, that generation that's unemployed at 22%. Is the same generation will vote to euthanize the baby boomers here in a few years.
Of course, Dave, that materialism trumped relationships in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, and now 64% of kids under 6 years of age are latchkey. That's up from 0.1% the turn of the last century. And, friends, this is going to affect the way that children live. I remember Mary Eberstadt wrote a book called Home Alone America. We interviewed her a couple of years ago on this program. We got to get that program back out one of these days because that was a key interview. She talks about all of these childhood diseases and these childhood maladies and pathologies that affect children. She says every single one of them that she knows of is on the rise and can be attributed to absent parenting. You've got so much more abuse going on, sexual abuse, physical abuse in single-parent households. In fact, girls in single-parent households, 33 times more likely to be abused. Okay, is this the dream of the feminists? Is this what the egalitarians, the socialists, the materialists wanted for our society? And when you got, what, 7-8 times a higher percentage of girls born without fathers than there were 30, 40 years ago, you know the problem is going to be out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, children are not being nurtured in these homes. Babies are not being nurtured or held enough in these homes. I mean, you're talking about little babies. At the time they're 4 or 5 months old, they're in the arms of babysitters, or maybe not in the arms of babysitters, because guess what? Babysitters, daycare, you know these guys are economically driven. If they can get 25 babies in there and process them through the meatpacking plant, get as much money as they can out of their daycare systems, they don't care about loving and nurturing babies as much as a mother would, at least a mother who used to be a mother who had, I don't know, some kind of a sense of an inborn desire to nurture a child. If that was still being nurtured in the hearts of mothers across America, I think those we'd have a lot of children being raised in proper homes, and they'd be fairly well-balanced little children. But instead, you've got a society where suicides among teen boys is really on the rise big time. Obesity is on the rise, ADD, ADHD, et cetera, on the rise. Kids are more on drugs today by a factor of, what, 20 times than they were 15 years ago. Dave, you know, with this milieu out there, you know that our goal is to reestablish a different system, a different vision for our children. And yet, okay, this is where daycare and babysitting comes in. A couple of days ago, we had a little conflict with a neighbor because this neighbor wanted regular babysitting for her little girl. And our girls do a little babysitting in the area, and we take care of the children occasionally, but we don't do regular babysitting. And the reason is because I don't particularly want to aid and abet a system that is unraveling the future of a nation. And Dave, again, we're, I think, going to be in clashing with a worldview out there because, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there, homeschool families, churches, that are trying to give children a Christian approach to life in daycares, in preschools. And personally, I think that they may be contributing to the decline of a nation. Well, in a moment, folks, we're going to talk a little bit more about daycare. Should Christians be involved in daycare centers? That's next on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson. By the way, we have live chat going on. The Generations broadcast is now visited by a live web studio audience. And so if you want to chat, folks, on the topic we're discussing today in studio here in my basement on the eastern plains of Colorado, then just join in on the chat online. Folks, we're going to give you an idea on how you can participate in the Generations Radio broadcast at our website. You need to go to kevinswanson.com to figure out how to do it. Today's topic, however, is babysitting and daycare. And Dave, it was always an irony to me that we had a Christian Home Educators of Colorado office in Parker, Colorado, right next to a daycare. And I always said, well, it looks like two different worldviews here that are side by side in this this sidewalk mall in Parker, Colorado. And, you know, Dave, there are two different worldviews, two different perspectives, two different social theories that work all the time right now. And one of those theories says it's not good for 64% of kids to be a latchkey under 6 years of age. It's not good that parents have more and more, increasingly over 30, 40, 50, 80, 100 years, spent less and less time with their children. This is not healthy. And even the experts, some of the psychiatrists and psychologists and sociologists are agreeing with us. So it's not like we're way out on a limb and, you know, we're typical right-wing weirdos here. A lot of people are admitting that's not good for a mother who ought to be nurturing and caring and loving that child throughout the day for the first 3 years, 4 years, 5 years of that child's life to go back to work. So a lot of people are questioning whether or not a woman ought to do these sorts of things. But what we do is we tie it back to the love that parents ought to have for children. We believe that parents ought to love their kids more than they love materialism and drywall. They ought to be satisfied with a 600 square foot house and love in the home over their 1.4 kids and 8,000 square feet and running away making their 124 grand a year. And so again, the question is for a lot of us, should we be babysitting the kids? Should we set up our daycare? Should churches set up daycares for families that refuse to nurture their children and spend a significant amount of time with those children? I'm not saying that there aren't times when parents need a little time away and they have a little date night or whatever. Certainly there's options there, but our society today has gone full-fledged into this idea that you just abandon your kids throughout the day, institutionalize them, and do their thing. Well, folks, first of all, our vision is a different vision. I just got to admit that. It's a different vision. I don't want 97% of my grandchildren in daycare. I don't want that. I don't want 60% of my grandbabies to be obese at 9 years of age with ADD, ADHD, and the relational problems, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want 92% of my grandsons not grown up by 30 years of age. I mean, right now it's 70%. You know, in the next 20, 30 years, it'll be 90%. I don't buy into that worldview, that social system. I don't want 99% of my grandkids confessing to premarital sex before their wedding day. Right now it's 95%. I don't want my grandkids to achieve those levels. I don't want 68% of my grandchildren born without dads. See, we've gotten off of that social train. That's the way the social system's been set up. That's the way our education systems, our preschools, our daycares have been set up so that our children will participate in these statistics, and that's not my vision. Dave, I think we've deinstitutionalized
ourselves. We have deinstitutionalized. We've come home. We're homeschooling our children. We see each other all day long. We've reintegrated the family in our home in really concrete ways because we don't buy into what's happening in the world around us. I believe you've got to do something different. You have to change your social system if you don't like the social system that you're raising your kids in.
Kevin, I think that we have swallowed the big lie. If we were to evaluate the systems just based on the world's criteria of what makes a successful system, we would see that sending your kids to daycare is psychologically bad for the children. They can't form relationships. That's why we have problems through society. We have these kids who don't have a connection to prior generations. It's bad for honor of the parents. It's bad for the honor of the vision of the parents. It's bad for the children's sense of well-being and security, and it's horrible psychologically. But it's also bad economically. It's bad economically in the macro sense because these children do not, by and large, become as productive in society as those who are well-connected to their parents. It's bad in the micro sense, in that if mom goes to work in order to get two incomes, get more drywall, it turns out that her net gain for doing that work, putting the kids in the daycare and doing all the gas and all the things it costs, the cost of doing business for her to go to work, she's working for pennies per hour on the average. It's bad for the future of freedom because these children don't have a vision for freedom because they've been in the little daycare cell since they were children, the little crib with the bars, you know, that's cell training right there.
Yeah.
They're in that.
And they're going to be good little socialists. They will fit right into the socialist system because they have been properly socialized in a non-family-oriented environment.
And finally, Kevin, it's bad for the kingdom because the kingdom is built on relationships, relationships with Christ and relationships with one another. And children who can't form relationships with different generations, who don't form relationships in the security of a family, children who don't have an idea what a loving father is will never have a very good idea of what a loving father they have in heaven.
Corey online is sort of interacting with us. He says his sister did some babysitting for a family, had five kids under 10 or 12 years of age, and but her sister was just helping out with the home chores, with the mom's all the responsibilities around the house. She did not replace the mother in terms of the mothering work that the mother was doing with her children. So as long as she wasn't replacing the mother's responsibilities or displacing whatever mom's supposed to be doing, she felt that that was appropriate. I think that's a good way of putting it. What happens, according to Corey, is that we set things up for a socialist system. These people get trained to live as socialists, and I think he's right there. I think it's just a different system, folks, and we have become way more socialized, that is socialist, in the last 60 or 70 years, and we actually don't agree with that worldview. We don't like total government. I mean, just a few of us out there still don't like total government controlling every single aspect of our lives, but that's the way things are set up, as Dave said, when you put a child behind bars when he's 1 or 2 years of age and leave him there, and he really isn't raised with relationship in what used to be a social system called family. I know it's not something most people know about anymore. It's an old-fashioned concept. You have a mother and a father. Children live together, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's pretty much gone today, thanks largely to Rousseau. And Rousseau was the guy who was out there promoting a society where 64% of kids were latchkey at 6 years of age. Rousseau said you've got to get the children away from the parents as early as possible. He said Plato was right. Plato said no man shall ever know his father, and no father shall ever know his son. That was Plato in the Republic because Plato and Rousseau and Marx said the family has got to be obliterated. And we do it early on so these children aren't trained when they're 1, 2, 3, 4 years of age to know that they belong in a family. You know, take away that belongingness to the family and make sure that you abandon your children on the steps of an orphanage on their birthday. And that's what Rousseau did for five of his children. And then he went on and wrote the book on modern social systems. And we're effectively Rousseauian in just about every Western country today. But folks, we've abandoned Rousseau. We don't agree with Rousseau, all right? We want to find ways to reintegrate the family. And I'm afraid that daycare is not a good strategy. They have so many churches out there doing daycares. They're doing the preschools. They're just jumping on board. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't think we ought to aid and abet.
the system that is ripping apart families right and left. I disagree with that strategy, but I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to help. Dave, here, I came up with an illustration that may help us here. I think we got to pick our battles in life. We got to pick our mission in life. Let's say there's somebody running around Elbert just shooting people in the leg. Okay, you got a guy just shooting people. Came into this house, shot you in the leg, shot Jack in the leg, shot a couple of my kids, and went on to the next house. And then there was a Christian ministry out there that said, hey, we're gonna start a ministry where we just run around and we bandage people's legs. Okay, now, Dave, as you know, probably a better approach, a better ministry might be to get somebody to stop the shooting. Would that be a better strategy? You know, instead of just, you know, we're a ministry and we're just trying to bandage everybody's leg, you know. So you follow the shooter. You go from house to house. The shooter's shooting everybody in the leg, and you're following the shooter, bandaging everybody's leg as you go. I mean, shouldn't somebody with a brain want to stop the shooting? And I think that's what we're trying to do, Dave, on this radio program. We're trying to stop the shooting. Yeah, society's unraveled. Yeah, divorce is everywhere. Yeah, kids are completely destabilized. There's no character in the next generation, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so what we're doing is we're trying to provide just a little daycare to patch up the problem here and patch up the problem there instead of going to the root issue, and that is parents don't want to be parents anymore. Well, they've already aborted, what, 50 million of their children since 1973? There's a lot of lack of love for kids out there. You got to admit that.
Yeah, Kevin, there's a lot of people out there who want to meet the needs. You got children who are being abandoned by their mothers and fathers. So the mothers and fathers can go to work. So we want to jump in. We want to meet the needs. Now, the question is, are we enabling the abandonment, or are we legitimately meeting a need? And whose need? Are we meeting the need of the parents who need freedom so they can go work? We're meeting the need of the children.
All right, back to the web studio audience, Dave. Brad's got a really insightful comment here. Is our government culpable in helping to force daycare through oppressive taxation, trying to create parentless households that the government can control? Yeah, this plays in, Brad, perfectly. This plays in perfectly with the socialist mindset. The only way you get to total government is by getting those kids out of the family so the kids are reliant on the government for their sustenance. And you know that's the direction this nation is headed. The family is not relevant to a child's life. And it's a lot less relevant to a child's life than it was in 1910. The family is hardly relevant. Hey, for the first time in human history, the nuclear family has become the minority of American households. That's the first time. That happened, a year and a half ago. So, yeah, this is all part of the agenda. And just a couple of guys still out here in the eastern plains of Colorado saying, we're not doing that. We're going to actually re-relevantize our families, and we're going to do things differently. We're going to do things differently. Now, before we wrap up this program, Dave, let me just throw in one more application. We've reconfigured a lot of things socially and how we do things. Within our church, we decided we're not going to do any daycares, and we also have not done any youth groups as traditionally configured. However, we have reconfigured the concept of youth groups in a couple of ways. One is we have about 80 youth groups in our church where the youth groups meet around a living room in a family every day. And we have, you know, families, 70 families or so doing six gatherings a week. That's what, 420 youth group gatherings in any given week. And do the math, that's somewhere around 20,000 youth group gatherings in any given year. That's a lot. 20,000 youth group gatherings in a year. It's quite a bit for a little tiny church of 300 people.
And I understand the snacks are real good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have plenty of youth groups in our church. They're called families. And, Dave, we've also had a different strategy on youth groups that you implemented a number of years ago, and I thought it was remarkable. We had somebody show up, 24, 25 years of age. It was a 20-something. So we started a 20-something youth group. It was kind of a neat little deal. Only one person was in the youth group, but she lived with a number of families in the church, first of all with the deacon's family, and then an elder, and then your family. She was with your family for a while, and this was really a 20-something youth group. But it was only a youth group of one, and you know, our elders spent a lot of time incorporating her into the family.
We had to kick her out.
Yeah, you did.
We had to kick her out of the youth group.
You did eventually, right?
Yeah, she had to join the newly married group.
Yeah, exactly. She was learning how to become a wife and a mother by just being in a family. She'd never really been in a traditional Christian family before, and she learned all these sorts of things. Now, she did have a master's degree in something or other, but she decided she really wanted to get married. So she just participated with the families in the church for about 2 to 3 years. And then at one point, about a year or year and a half into it, she wanted to get married. And so the guys in the church just sent out some letters, and we made some contacts, and we found a young man who was very interested in pursuing a relationship. So then there was the courtship, and then you had probably thousands of hours of discipleship that went on both sides. You discipled the husband-to-be and this young lady over a period of a long period of time, 6-8 months, and thousands of hours you put into one person. And then eventually, after all that, and there's all the accountability through the courtship to make sure that, you know, there were people interested, and you didn't want her to wind up committing fornication or any of that sort of thing. And so at the very end, after thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of time, she got married, and she moved off to Wisconsin, and that was the end of our youth group.
It was, but she started a youth group of her own.
She did.
Twins last year, and her hands are full.
Amazing, yeah. It's amazing. So we've got more youth groups going. So, folks, we got a different approach. We're reconfiguring the whole concept of youth groups in the 21st century, and it's working really well. By the way, we're also starting another youth group called a Shepherd Center, where we have six, eight guys sitting around a living room, and we teach them, we nurture, we shepherd, we disciple, and we intern and mentor, and we think this is a really cool way to establish youth groups, too. Folks, different ways of handling the social systems, and churches better wake up and get out of the system that's fragmenting the family, and that doesn't really contribute to discipleship. We got to get a little more creative on this one, folks. We've got to find ways to renew relationships, not institutionalize, not program everything to death, not file our little one-year-olds in cages, and then process them through government-sponsored daycare centers. I'm sorry, we're not doing that. We're relational here. I know that's really odd, that's strange, but we're bringing truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. That's the vision that we promote on this radio program. If you want to interact with the radio program, email me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also participate in our WebEx online web studio audience by next Thursday. So stay in tune with us at kevinswanson.com for more details on this. And you can also hear this radio program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I'm inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.